I have a friend who was given up by her mother at birth. Her mom was 15 years old and unmarried. So my friend Melissa never felt like her name was really hers. So I wrote this to try and rectify that song. Melisma poem for Melissa. If to unspool loops of sellotape is to generate lightning, if the right sunlight makes a celestial alphabet of strands of vitreous fluid afloat in our eyeballs, and cathedral stones have been known to come alive at twilight and cry out with birdsong. Never doubt what sprites may be set free, what golden honey discovered in manhandling the beehive of your name, Melissa. Your orphan bastard's name, you need only wield it like a pariah's drum to succeed in arousing the sibyl drowsing within its syllables. Until you hear where your true asylum, that longed for Elysium, was slumming it all along. This here is called Love Supreme, which is, in this case, a CD by old John Coltrane. Love supreme, demonizing the spots between linoleum and wainscot, after yet another of our Brooklyn Donnybrook, we mean to reinvent the whole premise, redeem the promise of our rent control premises, item, harmonica in the turtle tank, begins the histrionic inventory, house key as coke spoon, house plant as scapegoat, an encryption of boots, bottles, books arrayed on the kitchen table, and love supremes just another ashtray. My father passed away last November, and I wrote this Pearl Harbor Day. Pearl Harbor Day. I buried my father a fortnight ago, and to get quite forthright about it, his obituary was less than accurate, his funeral a poignant mess. Even his interment in the Central Mass Veterans Cemetery ironic, since the Army had arguably ruined him. So overwrought and addle-pated, I absquatulated. I took my happy ass on the bus to Brooklyn, where it's Pearl Harbor Day, and I'm feeling bombarded indeed by, to borrow from the bard, fortune's outrageous arrows and slings. I, myself a bearded and doting goof of a daddy, though an estranged one. I, a chronic alcoholic who chooses not to drink. I, a poet whose pen has been left entirely bereft of amen and abracadabra. I can intellectually identify, oh, in theory, I'm well able to find the Isis behind this, my three or four-fold identity crisis, but not in practice, no. To know this crosses, in fact, to become my very ladder up to heaven only makes it all the more burdensome.
one point to Curtis McCara, Tom Jordan.
For me and my group, how long getting or showing in with the outdated good car very much. I can't remember that one very well. That's a short one. So this is one I wrote the other day for Kim, more or less. But sort of the as a result of spending the day. But we'll launch ahead and see how it goes. The loss of one, the gain of another, the eternal yearning will on and we strive for what? We ask ourselves today, forgetting again tomorrow. The literal emotions play with us. Always some squall or pretty cloud classic passing overhead. The weather report favours silence, and we, forever glancing over these dipping shoulders, to cook full, to keep full, to thank low, put on air, to the cat, are lost in private wildernesses, bumping off one another inadvertently, feeling our way through our gazes fixed on shimmering horizons. When we learn to see without our eyes, we will grasp the geography of life. When we master the art of listening, we will be true to ourselves. Somehow it seems we ail as we thrive, bursting with the fruit of our creations, glistening in radiant splendor, draining ourselves into the work, giving birth to unquenchable fires, insatiable appetites and other troubles. Knowing the points of resistance from the throb in our veins, we are yet the moths that try to eat the flame. Like is to like, do as me unto you, we are together a while yet. Not for the faint-hearted this journey, not for the weak-willed this ambition, nor for hesitance, nor for deliberation. We endure, for we are true, in this we are, together and true. Yet far apart, such is life and such is art, artifice and the foolish scrutiny of unknowable, untamable eternity. We will have our chance at glory, first there is living to be done. Infamy beckons, melancholy, austerity, quantity and quality, all set before us, promises from beneath the platter. Not that it matters. I have to say that I loved David's poems, and thanks very much, Dave, for a great job. And this is the last one I do here. This is Lost in Romance. I'm not sure if I read a finished version of this. I read it here when it was a kind of a draft at one stage, and this seems to be finished now. The ashtrays are all full. There's no one to empty them. We are lost in romance again. Tired of seeking zen in filthy alleys after quiet daytime bars, or in the evening. Look for us on curbs, suffering swollen lungs, leaning dangerously against the flanking rails of closed doors, shivering, chattering, and shaking, lurching to embrace long-lost loves, phantoms of mistaken identity. On streets listening with cold rain you'll find us, stinking of piss and beer, crawling on all fours, tears on our cheeks, blood on our paws. We are old dreamers now, scratching the tarmac for memories, red eyes raised to greet you. Do not scorn us our pain. We are rarely lost to romance again.
My good Tom, Tommy, too, listen on and hugging through on stop and show listening guitar. Which seems that annoying. So I'm in this one on foot, Curry, by Cullen Scully.
Just a short one on the progeny. It's easy to be smart, but they don't have to think for you. Those generations did, who viewed you ridiculed. We own a small carpet board before us. If our fortune to be furnished with the tools, now we all have a chance. The time to turn upon. We smugly sneer at rules of war girls live by. God knows what we have taken from.
Good morning, Colin. So you've Kate and Ellen now, P and A Cotter. Pat Cotter.
You candy bastard. Okay, so I'm going to drink some. Sorry, as I drink, I meant small grass, right? Singing Bichon. My dog sings arias, but only to me. Mars kindred knows neither, he knows imperfectly. The in paradisum before his requiem, he renders with a strong nasal strain. He can't quite reach all the notes of Purcell's triumph, but hey, he's just a dog. He began to sing when I began to ignore him. Neither of us can stand the other's company. When he shakes his Bichon curls, doggy wits tinged with bitter fermentation assault the upper reaches of my nostrils. His piss perfumes the corners of my living room with a pungency made worse by the addition, without obliteration, of the mop buckets and money-based floor fluid. I can't stand him because he smells. He can't stand me because I'm impervious to his painted, glistening eyes. Regularly, we each need to elude the secret inner lives of our separate solitude. I by listening to my music, he by stepping outdoors to sniff the artisans of other dogs, or to beg attention of passing children. After I ignored his whining to be let outside, he learned to sing. That first night, I could not avoid paying attention to his original interpretation of Raphael Kurzel's Creep, Creep, Softly Creep. I released him. He asked me. The following night, I ignored his Kurzel, and he sang something by Dürerfleck. I once tried to arrange a soiree where I planned to accompany him on cello. My living room to Bijou for the pianoforte. But with the house full of guests, he had no solitude to escape and no need to sing. He doesn't know I know he sings Rufus Wainwright when he thinks I'm not around. Smelly bastard. Not rich enough to grant himself a send-off as great as the Emperor Qin, he decided to treat his shit.
Treat
I'm reading two poems with the one unusual word in each poem.
These
one after the other.
This is terrible. This is terrible.
Not rich enough to grant himself a send-off as great as the Emperor Qin. I swear to God, I haven't written a third poem before
Bijou,
right? Not rich enough to grant himself a send-off as great as the Emperor Qin, he decided to treat his baby finger to a tomb, lavish, Bijou, stifling. First, he dug a trench, huge, at 1/72 scale, in which to inter 5 boxes of unbiodegradable airpicks, knives, swords and lances, whistling in ranks. In a pan in which he had once fluxed pewter ingots from molds of Napoleonic grenadiers, he melted commemorative sovereigns and once upon embargoed Kruger rounds, reshaped them into bracelet charm war horses and bulls, offerings for minor toy town days. 47 veterinary thermometers he snapped in two to extract enough mercury for a miniature lake laid out inside the mausoleum he carved himself from Connemara marble. Mock jay idols formed lumps of desiccated viridian he arranged in a circle surrounding the soapstone casket, lined with butterfly motifs purple silk. Then he tired of chinoiserie and began to study coffee table tones on Egyptology. He copied varicolored silhouettes of Amun and Isis, Horus and a chorus line of nubile coli Latin, with a Louise Brooks style haircut, onto panels of modeling balsam, before slicing the pre-embalmed thumb of his right hand, entombing it along with all his skill, so no finger afterwards could have seen as good as buried.
From now on, people just have 3 minutes, please, because we're under a small bit of time pressure. So while I'm initially part of her is Sean Tracy, that was.
Didn't see a bounding, he stand behind the crest of summer's breath. Twilight thinned aloud, granting rest to uneasy thoughts. Whereupon soft breeze and shadow moved, merrily knees the inky heaven, with sky just black, the mask. Quite a bit on being fit and immortalizing him for so been a bit afraid of that. There's a prodigious talent though, so his poetry is enjoyable to read. This one is called To a Taper, Part 2. Yes, it will be over soon, this sickly dream of life will vanish from my feverish brain, and death, my wearied spirit will redeem from this wild region of unbearable pain. Yon brook will glide as softly as before, yon landscape smile, few golden harvests grow. Yon spicy lark on mounting wing will soar, when Henry's name is heard no more below. I sigh when all my youthful friends grass, they laugh in health and future evils brave. Them shall a wife and smiling children bless, while I am wandering in my silent grave. God but the just, thou gavest the bitter cup, I bow to my behest.
Good morning, Sean. Next one in front of her is James Foley. Good morning,
this is called My Family Home. That is the foundation, constant. Man is the frame, walls all together. Marine is the kitchen, let no one go hungry. Emily is the dining room, ever busy but practical. Mary is the sitting room, lady of the house. Joe is the extension, looking to tomorrow. Simber is the hall and stairs, lets you go where you want. Patty is the bedroom, nice and easy. Helen is the sky, that you know from both. There's a lot of stairs. This is a short poem. I was thinking of how to introduce this without making me look like a man, but I can't, so it's like this. The perfect poem. The perfect poem, a serenade. The acid test, did I get laid?
Same room.
I just want to
Shameless
Carnage.
Come on!
Fine. I'm just going outside, and maybe some time. We glance at one another in dismay. Nobody speaks. Dry mouthed, I stare at the back door. In moments, our barmaid returns, rattling her bucket of ice. Yeah. Seeing that Joy is here, I have to do this. Open mic for Joy. Leave politics outside the door. You and your tree-hugging wimps, rent-a-crowd cynics, saying PC is no concern of mine. You darken this doorway again with your skeptics and mink-loving lefties, pandas and pops. Then I'll unleash my own heckler and kosh.
Information. As you know, Matthew Jackson died last week, and the title of his poem, Walking on Starlight, refers to the album Thriller. Matthew Jackson wanted the album to be called Starlight, but Quincy Jones in London called it Thriller, and the rest is his history. But it was Walking on Starlight. It's rainy again tonight to add insult to injury. Death spiraling in the footpath. Avoiding being a wild like an infection that is caught by will. It's a long time since I saw the stairs. Orion and Sirius calmly waiting until I turn my attention skyward. But in the youthful light of the city, I beckon to wait just in case. Fortune is not available here to select a preferential admission. Whatever happens, I deny the way. Let a charge descend upon me as the rain passes. Hangover Street, we're all familiar with that. Inedible, sick to the stomach of equal opportunities. Falling in place into a watering heart. I am not foolish enough to know how you feel, nor the quagmire that is your mind. Hence was almost half broken, point away to the church of stairs. There is a plainly bitter taste in throat. You will be avenged. So will I when I start to stop choking on the flavor on my neck. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. No less spoken by Kim Wayman.
Hi. This is my first time here, so I'm going to say somebody else's song. It's called Tiara, and it's by March Duddy.
Good choice.
Peter died in a paper tiara, cut from a book of princess paper dolls. He loved royalty, sashes, and jewels. I don't know, he said when he woke from the hospice. I was watching the Betty Davis Film Festival on Channel 57, and at the wake, the tension broke when someone guessed the casket closed because he was in there in a big wig and heels. You know he's always late. He probably isn't here yet. He's still fixing his makeup. And someone said he asked for it. When all he did was go down into the salt tide of wanting as much as he wanted, giving himself over so drunk or stoned it almost didn't matter who, so they were beautiful. And tuning into him in the simple, ravishing music of their hurry. Sometimes I think heaven is perfect stasis, poised above the realms of desire. We're waking and dreaming, and then lie on the grass while wet horses rove among them. Huge fragments of the music we die into in the body's paradise. Sometimes we wake not knowing how we came to lie here, or who has crowned us with these temporary precious stones. But given the world's perfectly turned shoulders, the deep hollow of blue longing, given the irreplaceable silk of horses rippling in orchards, fruit thundering and chiming down, given the ordinary marvels of form and gravity, what could he do? What could any of us ever do?
That's a beautiful reading. Inish, well, and twice there for Alan Sissy, then.
After all that, what's the poetry? You want to lower the tone as usual. This is a poem in Irish, but I'm going to read it in Irish, and after every few bits I'm going to attempt to translate into English on the off the cuff, if you. So if I stutter and stumble and fall, you'll forgive me. It's called Ocrus, Hunger. The Ocrus Orum Alas Kurtu Kushden He. The Ocrus Orum Alas Dortu Young Fine. The Ocker Sorum Alas Dortu Gudogan Uretach Faida Tamar. The Ocker Sorum Alas Huitu Gudi Krenu Giahocht. The Ocker Sorum Alas Dortu Gamein the Bocht Gori Farin. The Ocker Sorum Alas Yehutu Katashtadam. The Ocker Sorum Alas Kurtu Milan and Shilahori Ramashunter and Yastira Down Ganaus her bit. The Ocker Sorum Alas Kurun Taradri of Kirt Ivaimaran. The Ocker Sorum Alas Dortu Gurad Mahal Kata. I was hungry and you set up a committee. I was hungry and you told me to be patient. I was hungry and you said that problems take a long time to solve. I was hungry and you went to a meeting of G8. I was hungry and you said the poor are always with us. I was hungry and you didn't give me permission to travel. I was hungry and you blamed it on the international terrorists who were in every country in the world without any doubt. I was hungry and you sent the Department of Justice to look after me. I was hungry and you said my time was up. The Ocrosorum of Stortunaka Pahibon Ervian of Borba Blasta. The Ocrosorum of Stortugar Echachti Urivren Ame. The Ocrosorum of Stortugagain Nasa Nachirbe. The Ocrosorum of Stortugagure Kaurdale on Doris. The Ocrosorum of Kurtuzin of the Mars. The Ocrosorum of Stortugarvain Zin or Dur A. The Ocrosorum of Stortugagotanel Lesh Pado Uregan Tradare Gurfitu Hun. The Ocrosorum of Stortugatati Real of the Racht. The Ocrosorum of Stortugasol the Quid Nanabina of the Yam. I was hungry and you said I wasn't used to rich food. I was hungry and you said that a computer was more efficient than I was. I was hungry and you said, well, I lose weight anyway. I was hungry and you said that God's help was closer to the door. I was hungry and you sent people to Mars. I was hungry and you said, well, that's a natural law. I was hungry and you said, well, there was a famine in Ireland also a long time ago, one time, you know, and you understood me. I was hungry and you said that law and order was more important. I was hungry and you said it was an imagination of the do-gooders. That's all it was. The Ocrosorum of Harrington of Old Moorishtach. The Ocrosorum of Storto Nach Vetings of Bill, of Eacha Shaploid and Orishery of Guinness. The Ocrosorum of Storto Narvish on Sea Cat the Torse. The Ocrosorum of Dorto Down Colgary and Bank Downer. The Ocrosorum of Dorsey Oram Queen of St. Lawson and Astor. The Ocrosorum of Storto Nach Fetach Gurren and Castagon. The Ocrosorum of Storto Down Castrash and Moyach. Nun leis a chwyn, nun leis dar gywn, nŵ. I was hungry, and you pulled in your big stomach. I was hungry, and you said, well, I couldn't be alive on chocolate eggs and oysters and Guinness. I was hungry, and you said, well, this wasn't the correct and proper way to do it. I was hungry, and you said, well, go to the World Bank. I was hungry, and you said, well, I had to follow the right procedures. I was hungry, and you said, well, I couldn't possibly be right. I was hungry, and you said, come back tomorrow, or maybe next year, or maybe the next century, or whenever. By the way, my spies out there tell me that Paul's birthday is coming up very soon. We should all sing happy birthday to Paul.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul. Happy birthday to you.
Before the whole, in the midst I call multi-dimensions, the story of one soul. In the time before time was created, creatrix loved to play, breathe life into light and shine always, time was created this way. All lights in this life came from one light, before that the darkness reigned. First light was born out of darkness, and that was when everything changed. Unseen became seen in a bright white stream, the light of one born out of naught. The shock of his birth brought joy and brought mirth in the heart of the mother of all. She laughed deep inside as she beheld her love child, and her whole being smiled with elation. The fun had begun. My first child, my son, father of all my creation. The first light was flying in the midst of naught, and suddenly began his very first thought. Who am I? Flying in the midst of all he felt, he could hear an answering call. You are the firstborn, the child of the night. You are the first love. I call you to light.
Too many beautiful young women of Ireland are complimenting me on my skills of conversation. Too many beautiful young women of Ireland are admiring my son as he walks beside me on the street. Too many beautiful young women of Ireland complain to me that young Irishmen know fuck all about flirting. Too many beautiful young women disappeared.
Thanks, Pastor, and thanks, Dan. I think we saw you coming at some point. Beautiful stuff. And now, Jerry, just the one, just give one chance to say one quick point.
Hey! Hey!
Hey!
Hey! partner. He's a parent, but he's a... Not a short opponent, he's a parent, but he's a... Yeah. A short. Called The Anxiety of Intruth. After Harold Bloom. And he's dedicated to Alan Smith.
Thank you.
That was it.
Say it again.
For fuck's sake.
I heard.
The Anxiety of Intruth. After Harold Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
You cunt.